live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening. It very much depends on what time of day you're actually listening to this. So pick your own greeting there, if you will. And hello to the Sunday sermon. It is indeed Sunday. It's time to talk about all things supernatural, paranormal, spooky, and other things beginning with S and P. How are you all doing? I hope that you're all fantastically well. I hope your week has been a delight and your evenings filled with takeaway food and good films or TV. Yes. Well, we have a delight of a show for you today. Yes, we do indeed. We have some fantastic stories that have been sent over to us, which, of course, I'm going to read out, hence the premise of the show. And don't forget, guys, if you have a story that you'd like me to read out, make sure it's about ghosts, because that really helps with the theme of the show. Send it over to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and I will read it out. Yes, I will. And we have a plethora of paranormal pros, I don't know, to say today, and they are all genuinely scary. I sincerely do mean that. Anyway, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and they get two extra shows a week. And I've just recorded this week's Patreon. Yes, I have indeed. And we're looking at other electrical devices that people can use from the dead to contact you. So, for example, we have someone who's got emails from a dead person, someone who's getting Facebook messages, yes, getting all up to date with the kids. They're getting Facebook messages from a dead partner. Yes, it's all going off over on Patreon. So if that's up your street, so to speak, go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts and you will find over 100 episodes just for your listening pleasure. That's patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. And a few people have already done that. And what I do when they do that is I sing their name via the medium of song as a thank you. So we're going to do that right now. The guitar is well and truly out, and I have two fantastic new Patreons to say thank you to, Naya Thomas and Alice Blue Moon. There's an interesting name, isn't it? Anyway, this is for you two. Naya Thomas, Alice Blue Moon, they've signed up to Patreon and they're gonna get the extra shows real soon. Yeah. One more time, Naya Thomas, Alice Blue Moon. They've signed up to Patreon, so I really need to say to you thank you. Ended it, of course, on a 7th, as we do each and every week to wonderful patrons. So yes, guys, if you want to go and listen to a paranormal show about people from the dead, ghosts, basically, talking via social media and the likes, go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. So that's thanking the Patreons out the way. Shall we have a look at what weird and wonderful things have been happening in the last 7 days? I said that quick. Can I say it quicker? Let's see. Shall we have a look at what wonderful things have been happening in the last 7 days? No, that's too weird. Let me try it one more time. Go. Can we have a look? No, try it again. Shall we have a look at the last wonderful? No, you know what? Here's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Yes, it's that wonderful time of the week. It doesn't often come round quick, doesn't it? Anyway, it's that wonderful time of the week when we get to look at what wonderful weird things have happened in the last 7 days. Now, with a big thank you to our regular contributor, Lucy White, she sent over something which we don't do too often on the show, and that is, of course, Alien Big Cats, ABCs, as they're often better known. Anyway, the Beast of Exmoor has been caught on video, and that's an actual beast in the village of Exmoor. Yes, it's not like a very posh way of saying eczema. It's not somebody covered in a skin complaint and they're a beast. No, it's actually a beast in Exmoor. Yes, and the article says a couple have captured what could be the clearest footage yet of the Beast of Exmoor as the big cat, the size of an Alsatian, was seen stalking the English countryside recently. Lisa Dare and her fiancé Nathan Dare, well, how have they got the same fur? Hold on. They can't be fiancés if they've got the same surname. Either that or they're inbreeding. Good God, no. I don't think it is that. That must be an error in the article. Anyway, they were out one morning last April when they spotted the large black animal running across a field outside Yeovil, Somerset. The 32-year-old claims she was so stunned by the sighting, she forced to do a double take and claims the size of the creature meant she was able to rule it out of being a fox or a domestic cat. She claims it would have been covered by the 10-inch grass if so. Only days before, the neighbour claimed to have spotted a big black cat in the same field, but Lisa says she remains unconvinced until she saw it with her own eyes, admitting, "Until you see it, you don't believe it." Footage of their unexpected sighting shows a four-legged animal stalking across a field, stopping to listen and look around before disappearing into the distance. The clip has convinced many of those who saw it that they have seen a wild big cat. Other people, for reference, have shared videos of normal house cats at a faraway distance to show just how big this cat is. Now, I will put the footage of this on the Facebook group. Yes, head over to We Need to Talk About Ghosts Facebook group and you yourself can see the Beast of Exmoor, not Exma. So yeah, go and check that out. Thank you as ever, Lucy White. And don't forget, if you have something you think is suitable that you spot in the news, send it over to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we will feature it right here on Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
And we are back to finally talk about the spooky stories you guys have sent in, you wonderful listeners. Don't forget, guys, send your stories in, if you have them, to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read them out. That's how it works. Oh, before I forget, on this show, if you are long-time listeners to the show, you'll remember at the very start when I started doing this podcast, occasionally, I would put one of my songs that I've written at the very end of the show. I haven't done it for ages because I don't bother anymore, but I'm going to do it today as a bit of a one-off because I've released a new, or I will be releasing a new song called Deeper with a band called Silver King, and I think it's pretty good. And just for that reason, I'm going to put it at the end of the show. It'll be right at the back after the exit music, so if you don't want to hear it, you don't have to, and I'm more than happy for you not to. But if you do, it's there. Anyway, with that out of the way, let's get to your stories, please. Our first email today comes in from Alicia. Now, you'll remember, Alicia was on the show a while back. I think it might have even been the back end of last year. And she had stories about demons and doppelgangers. Yes, double D. Not boobs. No, demons and doppelgangers. That's the only double Ds we care about round here, sir. And she writes, "Hello, Kev. Hello. I hope you're well. I am. I continue to enjoy your podcast, especially now that I know you look like a wizard. Lol." Hey, no, I do. I sincerely do. Most of my favourite people look like wizards. Me too. How very Hogwarts of us all. Sadly, our time frames don't match up so well, so I figured I'd type out some of my other stories for you. It's going to be basically a book, so feel free to pick apart any and use the stories as you will. Feel free to reach out if you have any follow-up questions. Why, thank you, Alicia. And she begins. When I left off last time, I was just finishing the story of when my boyfriend, now husband, moved in and saw the ghost that liked to hang out in our kitchen. We moved out of that apartment not long after and ended up moving into the house across the street from where my family lived, back into the area that was surrounded by cornfields and graveyards. Luckily, this house is not haunted, just drafty. The neighbourhood was creepy, however, and I remember one night we were up late watching TV when out of nowhere there was a blood-curdling scream. It sounded like a young girl. We both heard it and were like, what the heck was that? We know that there are a few types of animals that sound like a female screaming, but the only ones we knew of that were where we lived did not sound like that. Before you ask, the animals are mountain lions, this little quail we have around occasionally, and a coyote. But this scream was so different. It was so human sounding, we even considered calling the police. We eventually ended up just ignoring it and going to sleep. We never figured out what that scream was and ended up hearing it a few times again. Nothing was in the news about anyone getting killed or anything, so we just kind of brushed it off. We ended moving again a year or so later and into a much nicer, newer place. A friend of mine had lived in the duplex briefly before us, and she told me something about a ghost girl who would show up on the porch. She was kind of a weirdo and would tell tall tales, so I mostly brushed her off. Even if the place was haunted, I was pretty used to that anyway. I never saw anything weird at that house. But at the time I lived there, I did have a fair amount of ghost encounters. One night, I was out at a local bar that hosted a karaoke on Saturdays. Our town was pretty small, and we were almost the only people at the bar and were taking turns singing silly songs. When one of my friends was singing, I was chatting with my friend, in brackets, the girl who had the previous creepy bathroom ghost. I noticed a guy who was sitting in one of the booths off the side of the stage that was kind of dim and in a bit of shadow. He was wearing a plaid shirt unbuttoned over a t-shirt, jeans, work boots, and a baseball hat. He was watching us and nursing a cup in his hands. I was kind of annoyed that this guy was staring at us, so I commented about it to my friend. She turned to look at the booth and then looked back at me confused and asked, "What guy? There's no one over there." I was literally staring at this guy when she said that, and I turned to make eye contact with her. I gave her a look that she was crazy and pointed at the booth and said, "That guy." But in the second I'd taken my eyes off him and looked back, he was gone. I turned around and looked at all the people in the bar, searching for where he could have went. But like I said, there was barely anyone there, and he was not one of them. At that point, it dawned on me that he was a ghost. I told her that, and she asked me to describe him. I explained that he was sitting and watching us, with a glass in his hands, wearing a plaid shirt, t-shirt, jeans, and a hat. Her eyes widened a bit. It turns out the man I described was just the owner of the bar. She knew him, and that sounded exactly like him. And he died last month. So I was right. He was a ghost. Oh my lord, Alicia, that is terrifying. I mean, he also seems a little bit of a lech as well, you know, a bit of a pervy ghost if he's sat in one of the booths in the dark going, "Hello, ladies, want some spectral lovin'? I can give you some spooky humpin'. Kevin." Sorry about that, everyone. I don't know where that came from. But yeah, terrifying. You continue with another terrifying tale of titillation. Hopefully, no dead pervy bar owners in this one. My next story is about my friend who lived with me at my first apartment for a while. Her family's house was one of the big, beautiful houses off the town square, one of the first homes built when the town was founded. She'd already moved out of that house and lived on her own, but her mum, dad, and three sisters were all still living in this house. She used to tell me all sorts of creepy things that happened in the house. Shadows, noises, and just a general feeling of being watched. Like me, she was pretty used to that sort of thing by now. After some time, her family hit a financial hardship and ended up having to let the bank take the house whilst they moved elsewhere. When they moved, they did it really quickly and ended up leaving a bunch of stuff in the house. My friend wanted to make sure she got everything out of the house that belonged to her, so she asked me if me and my boyfriend would go and help her grab some things. We agreed, but we didn't have time to help until it was getting dark. We thought we would have some more time before it became fully dark, but by the time we got to the house, it was almost pitch black. We got into the house and it was dark and basically looked like an abandoned house. We were all immediately creeped out. It was like in a horror movie where the shadows were just a bit too dark. We managed to locate a lamp that was sitting in the dining room on the floor and plugged it in. It didn't have a shade, but it did its job and it lit up the room. Sadly, that was the only light source we had, and all of my friend's stuff was upstairs. So we left the light and went upstairs using the light from one of our phones. The upstairs where her and her sister's room was the worst. The atmosphere just felt different. To add to it, her middle sister was kind of a troubled kid and had painted a giant pentagram on the floor of her room. So when we walked in it, it looked something straight out of a horror movie. We helped her grab what we could, and we were just starting down the stairs towards the light from the lamp when all of a sudden there was a loud bang and crash and the light went out. We all freaked out and ran down to the room to find the lamp where we'd left it, but the light bulb entirely out of the lamp and smashed on the floor. I almost tripped my boyfriend running out of the house. We threw everything we had into the car and said forget it to everything else and got out of there. Oh my Jesus. That is petrifying. I mean, you say she seems a little bit troubled. She's drew a pentagram on the floor. That's not a little bit troubled. God, if I remember when I was about 12, I used a biro and wrote my initials, KJE, on a little bit of the door frame in my bedroom. Like a tiny, it was about like a millimeter. And my dad seeing it, and he wiped the floor with me. And I had to repaint the thing. Because, rightly so, because it's his house, you know, and I'm just vandalizing it. Kev was here. Of course he was. He lives there, you fool. But she has painted a pentagram on the floor. That's not a bit troubled. No, no, no. She would have, as what my mother would have said was, she's going to get her arse a good smacking. Yes, she will. But yeah, that's bizarre though, isn't it? And that is such a terrifying story. I hate it when you don't have lights in places and you've only got the light of your torch. Especially if you've got, I don't know, tell you what, if you've got an iPhone, the torch on an iPhone is diabolical. Like the camera on an iPhone, diabolical. It doesn't matter what version of it you've got. The awful. Have you ever tried to take a photo of the moon with an iPhone? Honest to God, you may as well be taking a photo of a bulb. It's bloody awful. My mate's got a Samsung and it's like a telescope. It's fantastic. Should just go to Samsung. The only problem that I've got with those, you see, is that, I don't know why I'm talking about this in a ghost podcast, but I will, is that I feel like iPhones are a sort of brand. I know they're all a brand, but I mean, like, they're like a safe brand. Whereas because Android phones run on Android software, for some reason, my absolute technophobe head thinks that that makes them a hacker's dream. So therefore, no, I'll stick with my iPhone with its dodgy camera and dodgy everything else. Thank you very much. You won't fool me by giving me a superior product. No, Siri, I'm much too smart for that, he said, taking a photo of a cloud. Anyway, back to Alicia's tales. Great these so far, by the way, Alicia. Thank you so much. Now, I want to go back further in time to talk about when I was little. I already told you about my grandma's ghost friend, Red, but I didn't get to the stuff that happened when I was old enough to remember. I don't ever remember seeing Red, but since he looked like my dad, who knows what memories I have of my dad that were actually Red. He wasn't the source of my fear as a kid, but I had plenty of others. We are still living out of the creepy half-finished basement of my grandfather's house. Now that I'm older, I find myself being scared to sleep alone, and usually I'm sleeping on the floor of my parents' room in the basement. My parents had me pretty young and liked to party a lot. There were many nights they would have the house parties late into the night, whilst I was home, and they would just put me to bed in the basement. They would tell me to go to sleep and then go upstairs and lock the basement door. In brackets, yes, they were pretty bad parents. At this time, little ghost seeing me was terrified. It would feel like the shadows were going to swallow me and I would literally scream and cry at the door to the basement. They would ignore me and turn the music up, and I would eventually climb into the middle of their bed and wrap myself in blankets. I would have such vivid night terrors. Crazy things like wolves coming out of the basement door from outside and just circling my bed, like they were waiting for me to make a move before they would pounce. After a few years, we moved out of that town and into a new place, but I still had night terrors, mostly mimicking things from scary movies my parents would let me watch. In brackets, again, not great parenting. And finally, I grew out of it, only to promptly start sleepwalking. When I was in high school, my sleepwalking faded away into insomnia. Basically, the theme of this story is, I don't sleep well. My insomnia has followed me into my current life, but took a turn a year or two ago. I now live in Los Angeles. We spent the first 2 years living with my friend and then moved into a small studio apartment. Our small apartment wasn't haunted by my standards, but it definitely had vibes. Like sometimes, you just get a bit paranoid. In the building we were in, we were on the top floor, so there was nothing above, besides the roof. Sometimes it would sound like someone was walking all over the roof. We always played that one off as squirrels or something. I don't believe this sleep issue is paranormal, but it ties into another story I have, so I need to tell it. One night, I was laying in bed about to sleep and my husband was scrolling on his phone. I was on my back and suddenly I saw the biggest spider I've ever seen. It was super detailed and suddenly became a black blur and scuttled to the other side of one of the beams that lined our ceiling. I managed to lift my arm and point at it, but can't make any words leave my mouth. I just pointed and gasped. It took me about a minute to realise, but I was having my first bout of sleep paralysis. As soon as my mind realised I was able to move again and I fully woke up, I turned to my husband and he was like, "What was that?" Apparently, even though I couldn't speak, I was in fact screaming, "What is that?" over and over whilst pointing at the ceiling. He was freaked out because he couldn't see what I could, obviously. The spider showed up again one day whilst I was alone and just woke up from a nap. I was looking at the ceiling and the spider was running toward me and started to climb down the wall right above my head. It was super real looking this time, and it was daytime, so it was bright. What happened next seemed to me like I blinked my eyes, and the next thing I know, I am standing at the foot of my bed, staring at where I would have been laying. I know I just sleptwalked, but it felt like I teleported. So now that is actually a current thing I still deal with. Hyper-realistic imaginary spiders, in brackets, I give permission for that to be used as a band name. After Googling it, I found out that it's a common hypnopompic hallucination, and I saw someone refer to the spiders as twilight spiders. I like that, so that's what I'm going to call them, and that can be a band name too. Flash forward a bit, and my friend and I decide it would be fun to go to this local witchy store that's super cool looking and get our palms read. The palm reader was out that day, but they had their tarot readers in, so we both went to a different person and had our cards read instead. The girl who was reading me was super serious. I'm kind of a joker and she wasn't having any of it, and finally asked me what I wanted to know. I hadn't been planning on a card reading, so I didn't really have anything I wanted to ask. So I just blurted out, "What's going on with my sleep?" Super vague. She just said, "Let's see." We cut the cards and she started laying them out on the table. Once they were all out, she looked at them, then sat back and said, "Okay, well, you definitely have some problems with sleep, and I'm seeing spirits all around you. You are definitely a medium, but I don't think you ever learned how to manage that. At night, I see multiple spirits that are picking at you. They are taking advantage of you being asleep." She paused and asked if there was ever violence in my sleep. Fun story, but yes. I've had instances where my friends or husbands have reported back to me that if they made a noise, I would pop up and scream profanities at them. Once in 8th grade, I slapped my one friend because she was making a clicking noise and didn't even realise until I woke up and she told me. She continued, "This isn't you doing these things. The spirits are able to partially possess you and cause you to be violent. You aren't sleeping well because you're having to fight against all these spirits." At this point, I'm flabbergasted. But I tell her that at one point, in brackets, at the advice of a psychiatrist of all things, that I asked for any guardian spirit to protect my sleep. It had worked like 2 nights before my sleep went back to normal. I was hoping it was some type of psychological thing I could trick my brain into believing and letting me sleep. I believe in ghosts, but I'm very much skeptical until proven otherwise. She told me that I was only asking the dark to help me against the dark, and that what I needed was spiritual healing. This woman straight up told me, "You need God." At that, our time was up and I walked out of the room and met my friend. She excitedly told me about her reading. She was going to have good luck in work soon apparently, and she asked how mine went. Deadpan, I looked her in the eyes and said, "I'm a medium, I'm possessed, and I need God." We had a great laugh about all that and it makes for a fun story, but I'm still skeptical. I hope you enjoy my stories. If I have anything else come up, I'll be sure to touch base and let you know. All the best, Alicia. Well, Alicia, once again, sincerely, thank you for that trio of terrifying tales. Triple T, my favourite three letters in the alphabet. That was amazing. And you know what? I think that's going to be the name of this episode. I'm a medium, I'm possessed, and I need God. Or at least I'm possessed and I need God. That is amazing. I mean, tarot is an interesting one. I've got tarot cards there. You may recall, those who've listened since episode one on this show, I have literally done tarot on the show. I've done them for Becca, I think, way back in like episode 12 or something. That's another thing, annoyingly. Apparently the first like 100 episodes of this show aren't there anymore. I mean, I've still got them on the PC, but apparently there must be like a bandwidth limit or something. So because we've done over 200 episodes, the first 100 have just like disappeared off the face of the earth. So that's annoying for when I say to people, if you want to go back and listen, and they literally can't, unless they come round here, which is a bit weird. So yeah, anyway, back to Alicia. Thank you so much. That is terrifying. Yeah, I may do a tarot reading again recently. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, I don't know. But we do have exciting news. Oh, do we have exciting news? Yes, we do, that's why I've just said it. One of our Patreons, we're in talks with them anyway, for Becca and I to receive distance Reiki. And we're going to do an episode on it, and it's going to be boss. Either way, the Catchums, it's going to be boss. And what a lovely, kind thing for them to offer as well. Now, obviously, Becca's a big skeptic on it, and that's why it's going to be boss, because she's going to have to battle with herself to be polite, because this person's doing it nicely. They're a Patreon, you know what I mean? So she can't, and we were talking about this on the on a Patreon show the other day. You know, she can't turn around and say, that's ridiculous, because you can't slag off someone who's a fan of the show and who's trying to help you out by taking part. And she respects that and knows that. So it's going to be a real interesting thing when we get that sorted. So a big thank you to that person. I won't name you on the show just yet, just in case it doesn't all go through. But fingers crossed it does, because I think it'll be very, very good. Be a cracking episode, that. Maybe at that point I'll do tarot again. Maybe. Kev does tarot. KDT. Anyway, shall we have another story? Yes, I think we shall. And we have a great email that's come in from Jay Deeks. And it's entitled, My Experience with My Mum Who Has Passed. Oh, sorry about that, mate. And it begins, Hey, Kev. Hey, Beck.
Her.
And that naughty neighbour's cat.
Meow.
Oh, I've just literally called the neighbour's cat. I didn't actually want you. I'm very sorry. I'm sure you've travelled up the stairs. Wow. I didn't know I could talk cat. Apparently I can. Anyway, back to Jay's email. My name's Jay. In brackets, feel free to use my name. Why do we read that last? I've just give his name. Anyway, sorry, Jay. But thank you, Jay. And I'm a pretty new listener here. And I've just subscribed to the Patreon. Why, thank you. I think what you're doing is amazing. Wow, thank you, Jay. And it's quickly become one of my favourite podcasts. So thank you for all the time you put into helping people share their stories and experiences. Well, thank you, Jay. I mentioned on a Patreon the other day that I'm really awful when someone praises me. And somebody very wisely said, just say thank you. So I'm going to do that. I'm not going to babble on about, oh, how awkward, how awkward. I'm just going to say, thank you, Jay. I'll take that on board. Thanks, mate. I really appreciate that. There you go. That's Kev, developing as a person. Thank you, Jay. So Jay goes on. I'm a very sceptical person when it comes to all things paranormal, but something about it in the same breath really draws me in. I've had a lot of weird experiences throughout my life, but I'm the kind of person that tries to rationalise it. A typical sceptic, I guess. I have a few stories, but I thought I'd send to you the one that means the most to me first. But strap in, because it's quite long and a bit sad. It sounds a bit like my single life before Becca. But this is Jay's story. Around 6 years ago, when I was only 20, my mum passed away. She was a single mum and I was an only child. So as you can imagine, we had a very strong bond. As I was growing up, she was truly my rock. Everything she did was to give me the best opportunities in life and to support my dreams. Unlike me, she was a strong believer in the paranormal and a very spiritual person. When her mum, my grandmother, was diagnosed with terminal cancer, my mum would tell me how my grandma would talk about their pets that have passed away coming to visit her. She would say things like, "Don't tell your dad because he doesn't believe, but Judy, the old Dalmatian, is sitting over there on the sofa." This was at the point in time when my grandma wasn't on any sort of drugs for her cancer that would have affected her brain, and the cancer itself wouldn't have affected her mind as it hadn't spread to this area. My mum always believed this to be true, almost like the dying have one foot in the door to the other side. After my grandma passed, every time a light would flicker or we'd hear a knock in the house, she would say, "I bet that's your grandma," even though I would always just chalk it up to something that could be explained. Anyway, my mum herself was diagnosed with cancer when I was around 19, and as you can imagine, it hit me super hard. I suffered from depression as I watched the life fade away from her, and seeing this strong, independent lady who was a nurse and cared for so many ill people over the course of her life transform to the one relying on everyone else was super traumatic. Whilst we were in the hospital on the day she died, I went to the toilet to splash some water on my face and take a breather. All of a sudden, a wave came over me, like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, and for some reason, even though she hadn't passed, and I'm not even sure how I feel about the afterlife, I found myself talking to her and reassuring her that I would be okay without her. Because that was the kind of person she was. Even though she was the one going through all this and losing her life, she was always worried about me and how I would deal with losing her. She was totally selfless. I went back to the waiting room with some members of my family, and after about 10 minutes, I had this sudden urge to go back to her hospital bed. I can't explain it, but it's like a feeling came over me telling me I needed to go back and see her quickly. Luckily I did, because when I got there, it was minutes before she took her last breath. In her final moments in hospital, she kept repeating, "I love you," over and over to me until she passed in my arms. Fast forward a few years, and my band is playing our first sold-out headline show in London. As I was growing up, my mum was my biggest fan. She drove me round to band practices and gigs, and would go out of her way to make sure I could pursue my musical ventures. I joined this band a few months after she passed, so she never got to see the success we've had. And this is something that's always upset me. She was one of the biggest reasons I'm able to do what I do today, but she never got to see the payoff. I would do things like put her pictures on our set lists just to make it feel like she was a part of it, but obviously, it isn't the same as her being able to see us live. We're a very energetic band, so we're constantly moving and interacting with the audience. Halfway through our set, whilst moving my head around, I see my mum in the crowd. It was only a split second, but it was her. It was somewhere in between out of the corner of my eye and locking eyes dead straight on. It's very hard to explain and I still can't comprehend it myself. It was like she was there, but at the same time she wasn't. Most people who say they see a loved one after they've passed recall them being in the prime of their life, but she was as she was when she had cancer. She was bald from the chemo, and she was wearing her favourite striped hoodie and PJ bottoms she would often sport when she was feeling rough. I immediately stopped for a few moments as my heart sank through my chest before continuing to perform. As I say, it was only a brief moment in time, a split second, but the moment was so vivid, and although I'm not usually good at spotting details, I could recall everything about her in that space of time, even though it was so fast and fleeting. So that's my story. Being a hugely skeptical person, even though in that moment it really knocked me for six. In the years that have passed since, I've tried to rationalise it any way I can. But it's still a very special moment to me. If this is all real, she would have been there watching us. And although I have my doubts, a part of me wants to believe that she was. Thanks for taking the time to read this, Kev. I look forward to hearing from you, Jay. Well, one of us got emotional through that. I don't know who it was. No, Jay, sincerely, I've lost my mum, personally. It's a horrible thing, obviously. Everyone's going to do it, unfortunately. When you do it at a young age, I was 16 when my mum died. Not in the nicest of circumstances either. And I can only imagine, it wasn't cancer, but I can only imagine how that was for you, mate. And, you know, not, everyone's different. Would never patronise anyone and say, oh, I know what you feel like. I don't. I just know that it was horrible for me. So I imagine it was horrible for you as well. It's not going to be nice for anyone. But on the flip side of that, there's a lot of correlations there, actually, because my mother was a believer in paranormal. And we've had knocks on the window, like sincere knocks where we've got up and looked to see if there was anyone at the door, and there's not, since she's passed. So I do get that part of it where you're not necessarily looking for hope, or you're looking for validation that there's a proof of the afterlife. But there are things that are going on. And do I think she was at your gig? Yeah, I absolutely do. I completely do, especially when you're doing something like performing, whether that be music or whether that be, you know, some sort of concentration, which requires, it puts you into a state of almost mindfulness whilst you're doing something else. I do think that makes you open to being able to see things like that. So do I think she was there? 110,000%. And I know where you said, like, you know, people who see departed loved ones often see them in the prime of their life. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Also, you know, if it was just not too shortly after, maybe she was just like, I'm not arsed what I look like. I just want to go and see my son play live. You know, you never know. such as the wonders of the afterlife. But a fantastic story, Jay. Hearts out to you, mate. And thank you for getting in touch. Yes. And if anyone else has a plan to send me an email that's going to get me upset halfway through, then don't, you gang of rotters. No, you can, of course, if it involves a ghost. But sincerely, thank you, Jay. Okay, so where are we? Says Kev, trying to get his emotions in check. Check one, two. I'm back. Hello, everybody. So let's close this show off with Jay's story there. Don't forget, if you've got a story you wish to share, you know the address by now, send it in contact@talkaboutghosts.com. I will read it out. Or, indeed, if you want to get in touch and we can do a Zoom thing, have one of those longer episodes where we have a good old natter and a chat. You know, we're still doing them, even though COVID seems to be going away. Yeah, so send us an email, contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Don't forget, if you want to get two extra shows each and every week, and like I mentioned earlier, this week's Patreon is, in fact, we're looking at communication from the dead via social media and things like that. There's a terrifying story in there about a guy receiving Facebook messages from his dead girlfriend. Absolutely terrifying. Never heard it before. Just finished recording that episode and was like, bloody hell, I need to go for a walk in the fresh air. That's horrible. And yeah, I think that's it. So we will see you next week. Yes, we will, for another edition of A Sunday Sermon. As mentioned at the start, I'm going to play you out with my latest band, Silver King, yes, named entirely after my hair. I don't normally do this, or should I say, I used to back in the early episodes, but I'm really happy with this tune, and I thought every now and again, I'll share one with it. So you're going to hear the normal jingle play us out. If you don't want to hear the song, just stop it there, and I'll see you next week. If you do, because you're a nice person, no, it really might not be your cup of tea, but if you do want to hear it, it's going to play after that, and it's called Deeper. Okay, chaps, till next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Copyright Jeremy Springer, mid-90s style-y. Tatty bye.